Welcome to Voices in the Wilderness, conversations about church and leader health. Thank you for listening. We encourage you to keep the conversation going. Voices in the Wilderness is brought to you by Preparing for Amazement Ministries, where we empower and equip churches and leaders to create lasting and transformational health. Visit amazed15.org to learn more. We also welcome any comments or suggestions. Simply email us at podcast@amazed15.org. My name is Marcus Carlson, and today our guest is Joe Oliver. Welcome, Joe.
Hey. Well, hi. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm so excited to have you here because we've connected over the last several years right around all of the stuff that we talk about. So why don't you kind of tell everyone a little bit about yourself and your ministry kind of past and present, including one of your cool new projects.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for having me on, and I'm glad to be here and love talking with you. So this will be a fun way to spend an afternoon. Yeah, so as Marcus said, my name is Joe Oliver. For the past 24 years, I've been in pastoral ministry, working in different contexts from youth pastor, associate pastor, to pastoring my own church. And over the course of those years, I've grown and learned and have changed into the person I am today. I hold a master's in biblical theology from Kairos University. And we currently are in a season of our life where we started a ministry called Stories of Tov. Tov is the Hebrew word for good, specifically found in Genesis, prominently God's good. And so this ministry exists to help people see the story that God is telling is a good one, despite maybe what they've experienced through churches and people and negative experiences of people in Christ's name doing some harm. And so we want to help people take a next step towards the real Jesus the one that we see in the Gospels. And so we work to do that. And there's a couple ways that we do that in our context. One, I have a YouTube channel called Whiskey and the Writings.
So fun.
Whiskey and the Writings.
So fun.
Yeah.
So, I mean, whiskey and scripture, I mean, right up my alley. You throw some bacon in there and it's a Marcus party.
You know, it's not everybody's jam, but I love it. So, it's a channel that when my wife and I were praying about what's next for us as we were leaving pastoral ministry in a church context to what God has for us, there was an aspect of I knew I wanted to use my voice and share the things that are in my heart and mind, but without the the parameters of a church setting. And so as I was exploring, like, maybe I should do a YouTube channel, all my research was like, you know, if a YouTube channel is going to last, you gotta do something that you love. And I love to talk about the Bible and I love to drink whiskey. And I thought, well, I could do that for the rest of my life. So why don't we try that for a YouTube channel? And thus emerged Whiskey in the Writings, where it's for the skeptic, the spiritually curious, those who believe maybe just not like they used to, where they can be safe to ask questions and to engage in their faith in fresh and new ways. And so that's what Whiskey in the Writings is all about. And that launched in January of 2025. So we're just barely 6 months into it. And it's just been going great. On top of that, my wife and I lead a ministry called Barstool Theology. It's a local meetup where people can come and we do conversations around questions that are asked in the group. And so we'll have the group of people that come together, whoever it is, it's open invitation. Everybody writes a question down on a notepad when they arrive. And then at the end of the meeting, we pass the notepad around and everybody gets two votes. And whoever's question gets voted on the most is the topic of the conversation the following meetup.
I'm sensing it's a theme, Whiskey in the Writings, Barstool Theology. Again, right up my, right up my alley. Maybe you're like a closet Lutheran or a closet Catholic or something. I don't know.
You know, for us, it's certainly trying to be authentic. I enjoy bourbon, and that's just an authentic. I love bourbon. I love talking about the Bible. I just want to be authentic to that. I love sitting around with a beer in my hand in around people that are spiritually curious, not I don't know. I tend to enjoy conversations with people that don't believe they have it all figured out. And so those are just more exciting for me. So you tend to have those environments, unfortunately, not in church settings. What we've experienced is that people don't feel safe a lot of times asking the tough question in a church setting because, for whatever reason, they don't want to be wrong. They don't want to look stupid. And there's just not been an environment that's been cultivated that's safe to do that. And so these environments that we're creating, a YouTube channel where bourbon and the Bible are discussed, and Barstool Theology, where we meet at a pub around tables, those just seem to be the places the people we're chasing want to be. And so we're just going to go where they're at, hang out with them, and have great conversations. And so that's a ministry that we've started. Both those outlets of the YouTube and the local meetup are under the header of Stories of Tove, which kind of contains all of these explorations of helping people rediscover God's good story.
Awesome. Yeah, that's great stuff. And of course, anyone who listens to the podcast, if they've, dealt with some of these church trauma issues, there's the book called The Church Called Tove, right? Which highlighted
Yeah,
one of
McKnight.
the churches, yep, Great Falls by the great theologian Scott McKnight and co-authored that at least. So that word should be familiar to some and often connotated with a bad thing when it really means to make a good thing out of a bad thing. And sounds like that's a huge part of what you're doing with people's church trauma or their skepticism or whatever it might be.
Absolutely.
What have you learned over the years, kind of throughout your life in ministry about the importance of leader health? What would you tell the younger Joe Oliver, or what would you tell somebody who's, considering going into ministry about leader health and its importance and what you've learned?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually made a video on this a couple months ago on Whiskey in the Writings. And it was things I wish I knew before becoming a pastor. And so reflecting over almost 25 years of pastoral ministry, what are the things I wish I knew if I were getting in this again or just starting out? I wish someone would have pulled me aside and said, "Hey, Joe, heads up. These are things you need to be thinking about." And in that video, it's been a couple months, but I think I can recall a few of the points. Some of the things I've learned is nothing stays the same. When people start in ministry or they find a place that they truly love, oftentimes we think that that experience we're having right then and there is what it's going to be like forever. And the reality is that's just not true. There seems to be like this, and this is just me in a straight observational, point of view, but it seems that there seems to be a cycle in churches every 5 years. People leave and new people come in. And good or bad, it just seems that, like there's all these books, and I remember in the early 2000s, there was all these writings about closing the back door of your church was kind of like the thought, right? Like, got to stop people from leaving. And I don't know that we've actually solved that problem because it just seems to persist. But this is what happens to a church leader. For those of us who are investing our hearts and souls into people, what's often overlooked is the amount of frustration and depression that comes from people leaving. Like, we can think structurally and organizationally about, like, what are the best practices to close the back door? And what often gets overlooked is what's happening to the pastor when that happens. And what often happens is that there's lots of conversations. Hey, pastor, we'd like to have coffee with you. You know, there got to be a point where I resented that statement. You know, pastor, we'd like to have coffee. I'm like, look, if you're going to leave, you can just go, dude. You don't need to. I don't need another coffee appointment for you just to like. And that's a very cynical, obviously, like.
For sure. Because I think other pastors struggle with not being told that somebody just disappears. Right. Yeah. And, you know, yeah. I don't know what the middle ground to that would be, but I totally get it. Right. It's like you never wanted to talk to me once while you're here. You just want to talk to me when you're mad enough to leave and, you know, kind of. You know, put the bag, Halloween bag of brown poop on the doorstep before you go kind of deal.
Yeah. And I would say to the young pastor, I would almost say to them, not that it's normal, but don't be surprised.
Yeah.
And so my encouragement for that person that's experiencing that kind of like, this isn't what it used to be. You know, the people that I started with aren't the people I'm finishing with. The encouragement I would have for them is that I don't know if this is universally true. This is just my experience. It's not personal. In the sense that changes are just a natural flow of life, right? Obviously, we can look at the scriptures and see, you know, from Ecclesiastes to you know, even in the Gospels. I was just reading in Acts and I was reflecting on how they chose the 12th apostle to replace Judas. And just reflecting on this guy, just what a weird story that, like, we have no clue who this dude is and whatever happened to him. The only mention that we have of anything is just this one instance, like, we had to choose someone. And then, like, how they chose, they cast lots to choose him. Like, you know, in our over-spiritualized, you know, we would go, well, we need to pray and we need to do some background research and make sure, you know, they just go, we need someone who was with us from the beginning. We got a couple dudes we're going to vote on. We're going to cast lots. This guy's it. And I can imagine the amount of change that they were experiencing. Jesus is no longer with them. They got to find a replacement. They're trying to organize themselves. They're a little unclear about what to do next because Jesus said, wait, you know, don't do anything. Just go into Jerusalem. So there's that, like, change. It's everywhere in ministry. And if you're thinking you're getting into something and you're going, this is so great. I remember being a youth pastor coming into ministry in June of 2000, thinking this is the greatest moment of my life. I'm getting paid to be a youth pastor.
Yep.
And thinking this, you know, this is going to be how it's going to be forever. And it's just not.
Yeah, it's not even wait sometimes for like a month or a day or a week. Yeah. But certainly
you get into it and you go, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, you know, so it's just have good expectations when you're going in. So I would encourage, like, nothing stays the same, and don't let bitterness and discouragement be the place that you minister from when things do change. But how do you prevent that? Because that's the inevitable. Like, how do you not get that way? And the other thing I would encourage someone, and this came from a close friend of mine, encouraged me with this. I was a lead pastor for 11 years. I resigned and we took about 2 years off and started going to another church, and that church hired me as an associate pastor. And so I was getting back into it, even though I kind of vowed I wasn't going to.
I remember that.
As I was entering into that new season of exploring, okay, I'm going to get back into ministry, I called a friend of mine. I said, hey, what's something I need to do differently? And he said, you need to get around people that can be a network for you that are not a part of your city or, like, context, religious context.
Right. That makes sense.
And so I was like, oh yeah, man, I didn't have that before. All my context was this, the movement I was in that framed all of my community, relational community of who's speaking into me and discipling me. And so I said, yeah, that's a really good idea. And so he got me in contact with you. And ever since then, I've been a part of Pastors for Pastors, which is a ministry out of Preparing for Amazement.
Sure.
And that has been just a tremendous blessing in my life. Not that like this is a group, these pastors that I meet with, it's not like we're there fixing each other and like, okay, let's solve all our problems together. That's not the point of it, but it's a space where I can vent different frustrations and experiences I'm having in a safe place where people that are like, oh, I know that pastor, and you're saying A, B, and C about them, and oh, you know, that's problematic, and or whatever. I could just be me, and then they can speak into my life in ways that they can encourage me,
For sure.
and they don't even know the situation, right? Fully. They just see me and they can speak into me. They can share observations of things that maybe I'm not considering or thinking about. That group, even in this last season, has been incredibly important. The last meeting we had, where I updated everybody, was what was going on. I had to miss a couple meetings, and just the amount of encouragement that this group brought me was very that's what I needed at that moment. So my encouragement to a pastor getting into ministry, and what I have learned, is that you need people around you. Not just like your friends that go to church with you, or like your other pastor friends that are in the same city as you.
Oh, it's
I'm talking about
tricky.
people you actually don't know.
Right.
And that was huge for me in this last journey. So those are just a couple things that I would I try to encourage a young pastor with. Things change all the time. What your ministry looks like now won't look that way and 3, 6, a year, 5 years, it's just going to change. Relationships change.
People change. I mean, like, I'm
People
not the same person
change.
I was last month, let
Yeah.
alone, 10 years ago. And thank God for
Yep.
that. But
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, a lot of what you've said, as we talk about pastors, I mean, would apply to any church staff or even lay leaders. But when you think about leader health, what other encouragement would you give leaders in the church to help themselves and their pastor and staff have health as a leader?
Yeah, so I think this goes for pastors. I think this goes for lay ministers. I think this goes, volunteers. Set boundaries. There is a propensity in churches to see potential and overwork that potential. Here's what I mean by that. Man, you're really good with teenagers. We could use some help, someone volunteering in with the youth group. Would you be willing to come in and help disciple these kids? And yeah, it seems like, yeah, I guess, what's the ask? Well, it's, we're going to be every Sunday night. We've got camps and we've got these things. And it's like, oh, okay. I don't know. And then all of a sudden you're locked into this like role, and all of a sudden, like every ounce of your being is put into this thing. Or it's like, hey, we need help in the nursery. Can you hold some babies? Yeah, I can hold some babies. And now every Sunday you're scheduled with the babies. And it's like, oh, well, yeah, I was trying to help, but now I don't even get to be a part of the community because I'm always in the back helping. And all those things are good things. Those are things that the church needs. Like the church is a volunteer organization.
For sure.
It's exactly that. It's built, I use that word loosely because we know it's Christ that builds his kingdom, but
Right. Yeah. And there are lots of
sometimes
preferences.
I feel like I gotta like explain and justify
Oh,
everything just to
totally.
say one thing.
Yes. That's our culture. That's our culture, especially in the American church. Yeah.
So what I'm saying is that I believe that the church is built on the hands of those who are willing to give, by the hands of those who are willing to give, volunteers. And as churches grow, that ask becomes bigger. It becomes more.
Right.
And unhealthy churches say, no, it's not my job, it's your job, paid position. That's an unhealthy expression of that. But also that expression can have its other side, which is to say, if you're not doing enough, somehow you're not serving Jesus hard enough. It's almost like the, I think you get my point. I think it's healthy for people to set boundaries when,
for sure,
when giving of their time, to go, this is what I can give and this is what I can't give. But that takes an extreme amount of maturity out of a person, because no one wants to,
for sure.
Yeah. 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 Because no one wants to tell a person that they respect or see as a position of spiritual authority, no.
Well, yeah, I think when we say no to a church pastor, staff member, or just the church in general, we feel like we're saying no to Jesus, and that's just not true. I mean, I think as pastors, we experience that, right? And we have to say no to a congregation member. It's like, I'm sorry, I can't do a last-minute appointment today right before I go on vacation for my daughter's graduation, right? Like, we can't. And I think, you know, no has become become a dirty word. I also think we experience the opposite thing, which I was talking with some seniors a couple weeks ago, and they're like, it's so great to see more young people involved. We've done our time. And my instant response is, was it a prison sentence? And yep. I know it feels like that sometimes, or we make it feel like it sometimes, but I'm going, this is not a prison sentence. And by the way, if you're not dead, God's not done with you yet. So like, you should just be doing different things rather than these things. Well, it just seems like we're the ones that do everything. I'm like, you are the ones that have all the time, right? And like these teenagers go to school and these college students go to college and these mom and dads work. And and again, not to minimize any of that, but it is a tricky balance, because I think we do go to one of those extremes, both of which are unhealthy in their own way.
Yeah, yeah. Boundaries are important. For anyone in almost any context, but certainly in a church where you can have that self-awareness to say, you know, this, I know this is a need, but I actually don't have the bandwidth right now to give to that. And hopefully to be able to say, but here's what I can do.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know?
Yeah. So, you know, some boundaries, I think, would be another important thing to communicate to anyone in the church.
What I hear you saying throughout is this kind of idea of like having realistic expectations and building relationships and systems for health and setting boundaries. I mean, I think that can apply to any leader in any setting, but certainly any faith-based setting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, awesome, Joe. I love talking about this stuff with you. I know we could do this all day, and we'll do it again soon, I'm sure. But appreciate your thoughts today.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for having me. And I know we're going to hopefully have another follow-up here soon, but I appreciate the time.
Awesome. Thank you for listening. We encourage you to keep the conversation going. Voices in the Wilderness is brought to you by Preparing for Amazement Ministries, where we empower and equip churches and leaders to create lasting and transformational health. Visit amazed15.org to learn more. Again, we welcome any comments or suggestions. Simply email us at podcast@amazed15.org.